In the fast-paced world of business, adhering to outdated rules and rigid frameworks can stifle innovation and hinder progress. It's time to break free from the constraints of the past and embrace bold, revolutionary approaches to project management that drive real results. Welcome to Ignoring the Rules, the business podcast where I challenge the conventional wisdom and push the boundaries of traditional project management. I'm Wayne Robertson, and today I want to dive into a topic that's sure to spark your spirit of rebellion. Out with the old, in with the bold. In this episode, I want to explore how to lead a project by discarding old methodologies that don't work in favor of fresh, daring strategies that foster creativity, agility, and success. I will discuss the benefits of challenging the status quo, share inspiring stories of businesses that have thrived by ignoring the rules, and provide practical tips for implementing these bold changes in your own projects. So join me as we uncover the secrets to transforming the approach to project management and unlocking some new levels of performance and innovation. Whether you're a seasoned leader or an inspiring entrepreneur, this episode will equip you with the insights and tools that you need to lead your own project rebellion. So grab your headphones and get ready to be inspired. Let's embark on this journey to discover how breaking the rules can lead to extraordinary success. How can we ignore the rules? It started many years ago when I struggled to get projects completed on time and meeting the goals. And after spending significant time talking with team members and management, I slowly, and unfortunately very slowly, developed a new method of handling projects. It was a long process of trial and many errors, but eventually some clear tactics became obvious. And you know, the idea here is to overthrow outdated processes that have been great in the past but don't work now, and declare independence from mediocrity, if we can. Rebellion isn't about anarchy. It's about order, building smarter, and with more flair. And bold moves usually end up being something like, we've never done this before, turns into, wow, we should have done this ages ago. And so if you handle these projects with rebellion, the bold becomes the norm, and the old ways are just funny stories we tell over coffee. Hey, the following story is fictional because it illustrates the exact issue that we want to cover today. And it's a really good way to set the stage on these changes. In the cutting-edge world of quantum dynamics, a tech company that was renowned for its innovative solutions, Mark Thompson was the seasoned project manager. And he had a reputation for strictly adhering to traditional project management methodologies and a very firm believer in meticulously planned timelines, rigid hierarchies, and clearly defined roles. However, the increasing complexity and the dynamism of recent projects demanded a new approach. And so the turning point came when Quantum Dynamics embarked on developing Project Nexus, a revolutionary artificial intelligence platform. Early on, it became evident that the traditional methods were failing to keep pace with the project's demands. Deadlines were missed, creativity stifled, and team morale plummeted. And determined to turn things around, Mark decided to break the mold and adopt a radically new approach. Scary. So, he started by scrapping the rigid hierarchical structure. So instead of the traditional top-down management style, he introduced a flat team structure. He empowered team members to take ownership of their tasks and make decisions independently. And this shift aimed to foster a sense of responsibility and encourage innovative thinking. Next, Mark introduced agile methodologies. He replaced the long project phases with short iterative sprints, and this allowed the team to adapt quickly to changes and deliver incremental progress. And he had daily short stand-up meetings to ensure continuous communication and alignment. They were brief. They focused on discussing progress, challenges, and the next steps. To facilitate the transition, he organized a series of workshops and training sessions on agile principles and practices, and he understood that changing long-established habits would be very challenging. Next, Mark introduced agile methodologies. To facilitate transition, Mark organized a series of workshops and training sessions on agile principles and practices because he understood that changing long-established habits would be challenging, and so he provided ample support and resources. He also invited external agile coaches to mentor the team and share their expertise. And understanding the importance of team morale, Mark emphasized a culture of collaboration and mutual support. He encouraged open communication, and he created a safe space where team members could voice their ideas and concerns without the fear of judgment. And he believed that fostering a culture of trust and respect was crucial for the team to embrace the new methods fully. But one of the first challenges was handling resistance from some team members who were deeply ingrained in the old ways. Raj, the lead developer, was skeptical about the new approach. And he said, "Mark, this agile thing sounds chaotic. How can we ensure quality without detailed planning and control?" And Mark responded with patience and said, "Hey, I understand your concerns. The goal isn't to abandon planning, but to make it flexible. Quality is paramount. With shorter sprints, we can catch and address issues earlier. So let's give it a try and see how it works for us." And to further ease the transition, Mark implemented a feedback loop. After each sprint, the team conducted retrospectives to reflect on what went well and what could be improved. And this practice not only helped in refining their processes, but also gave everyone a sense of involvement in shaping the project's direction. And as the team settled into their new rhythm, positive changes began to emerge. Emily, a young software engineer, thrived in the collaborative environment. Her creative solutions to complex problems impressed everybody, and that boosted her confidence. Maria, the project's interface designer, appreciated the iterative approach as it allowed her to test and refine designs based on real-time feedback. So despite the initial skepticism, Raj gradually warmed up to the agile methodology because, well, he saw the benefits of continuous integration and testing, and that led to more stable and reliable code. And the team's productivity soared, and they started hitting their milestones with greater consistency. And Mark's new approach was not without challenges. There were moments of doubt and setbacks, but he remained steadfast in his belief that flexibility and empowerment were the key to success. He maintained open lines of communication, regularly checking in with his team and addressing any concerns promptly. And so, as Project Nexus progressed, it became a testament to the power of innovative thinking and adaptability. The platform not only met, but it exceeded expectations, receiving accolades for its groundbreaking features and then the user-friendly design. So, Mark's radical shift in project management not only saved Project Nexus, but also set a new standard for quantum dynamics. Other teams within the company began to adopt similar agile practices inspired by the success of Mark's team. The culture of the organization transformed, embracing flexibility. The culture of the organization transformed, embracing flexibility, collaboration, and continuous improvement. And so reflecting back, Mark felt a deep sense of fulfillment. He had not only delivered a successful project, but he had also empowered his team to reach their full potential. And thank you, everyone, he said, during their celebration get-together, a great meeting they had. This success is a result of our collective effort and willingness to embrace change, that we've proven that by breaking the mold, we can achieve extraordinary things. And so, with a new methodology and a rejuvenated team, Mark was ready to take on the next challenge, confident that innovation and adaptability would continue to drive their success at Quantum Dynamics. But we come across a problem. How do you introduce new changes without slowing down your project? And I want to break this down step by step to see if we can't make some sense out of that. So, every successful project starts with a solid plan. At least, well, I hope so. We begin by assembling a diverse team of experts, and the goal is to have a mix of skills and perspectives. And each team member has a clear role, but we also encourage cross-functional collaboration for learning, for all kinds of things. But this level of planning becomes crucial to our success. With a detailed timeline, some clear milestones, and the risks, we can get started on this and really make some progress. So one of the things you can adapt, and you don't have to use this, you can use like Agile Framework as one of the ones that allow flexibility and able to adapt changes. And there's a whole process around that, that if you want to look that up and follow it, it's great information. So midway through the project, you may need to implement a significant change based on bosses or clients or whatever. And so the first thing to do is to hold immediate communication. Get together with the team, get everyone together and tell them exactly what's happening. Because one of the big mistakes I found is too many people in management just charged ahead and didn't bring the team in the reason why things were happening, things were changing, or whatever. Then turn to the team to quickly assess how the changes will affect the current progress and future milestones. At that point, you now take a look at the timeline, you take a look at the tasks, and you ensuring that everyone is aware of the new expectations of things we have to do. That level of communication is really important. And the next step is also critical. You need to closely monitor the implementation and how it's going because you can catch issues early. It's an old trick. If you catch them early, they're small. If you catch them later, they're huge. Just always try to catch things in the earliest time. And so the key to this is to communicate clearly and act swiftly. Make fast decisions. And if you read up on the current level of entrepreneurs around the world, almost every one of them are into this swift change. Make some changes quickly as they need. Now, all these changes are going to be stressful. The team is going to have a hard time. And the more senior the team members, frequently the tougher it is because it breaks the way they lived all along for so many years. One of the things you want to do is encourage short breaks during the day. Don't ask them to do 8 hours of serious focus. It's not going to happen. If you can get 3 or 4 hours of real serious focused attention on something, it's going to be a good day. You also want to continuously seek feedback from the team and make sure they tell you about any issues, regardless how embarrassing, if they made mistakes or whatever. You need to know it immediately. So therefore, make them feel better. If you make a mistake, no big deal. We'll just keep going. And then you want to celebrate the wins. Now, you've heard me go on about that before. It's a really big deal. And employee well-being is directly impacting productivity. If we prioritize their mental health and recognize their hard work, the teams will be engaged and keep going. Now, what are some key things that we should be doing? These are kind of obvious. So don't sit back and say, oh my goodness, what's going on about that for again? It's not done that much. So for all of this, this is obvious. Why isn't it done more? We start with thorough planning, a solid plan, clear roles. We go into maybe some kind of methodology, agile, I mentioned before. All of them need to be flexible and adaptable. You need to keep the team informed with constant communication, frequent. By the way, this means sometimes more meetings, not less. Oh boy. And then you need to regularly review and adjust the approach. And then prioritize the team's health and morale. So that is how we can handle that. Hey, I came across this story, which I thought was interesting from real life. In 1997, Steve Jobs returned to Apple. And if you remember, he co-founded that originally and then got tossed out. And it was on the brink of bankruptcy. So he began a series of radical changes that would not only save Apple, but transform it into one of the most valuable companies in the world. And by the way, simplification is the term I've come up with this. His first order of business was to streamline the product line. He cut the number of products by 70% and focused only on a few key things. That brought clarity and renewed focus on innovation. Really, really important. And from dozens of product lines, he narrowed them down to just a few. He reduced the complexity, realigned the resources, and it was facing some very serious things. I mean, I remember those days. We kind of wondered if it was going to survive or not. They had financial troubles. In 1996, they had a net loss of $800 million. And looking back, they suffered from a lack of clear direction. There were a number of different visions. Each team had their own way of doing things. And this is deadly. There was a lot of indecision. The product line was big, bloated. Everyone had a different idea. There were dozens of different models of the Macintosh computer. Like, are you kidding me? And so the PC share was dropping. And Windows from Microsoft was really beating them up pretty good. And so, while other companies were rapidly advancing in technology and software, Apple's stuff was seen as more outdated and less capable. It also had logistic problems, inefficient supply chain, and huge inventories. So they'd gone through some CEOs, all kinds of changes. And I remember those days. It didn't look good. So Steve Jobs addressed these problems through a series of drastic measures that streamlined the operations and refocused things. Very important to remember. You need to keep the number of variables quite low. The other thing was, he was legendary on design and aesthetics. He believed the look and feel of the product were as important as the technology inside. In fact, most people don't understand the technology, but they can take a look at the look and feel. He brought in some great designers and made some great changes, and the iMac, the iPod, the iPhone all came out of these changes. And it wasn't just about looks, because they also focused on the user-friendly interface, which, guess what? Is now being copied across almost all products. And he fostered a culture of high standards and attention to detail that seemed impossible at first, but they got it done. And so his insistence on quality and innovation resulted in the launch of the iPhone in 2007. And people didn't totally understand that, because it was a phone and it was a iPod, and it was other stuff. All of a sudden, this set the standards for new devices. Also, he did some things in marketing. He had some great ways of connecting with his audience. He turned product launches into blockbuster events, and the anticipation and excitement were never seen before. And so he had a great way of connecting with the audience because his narrative was that Apple products weren't just electronics. They were tools to unleash creativity, totally redefining things. So his vision at Apple is more than just products. It's about a vision that intersects technology and liberal arts together. It's about creating an ecosystem where hardware and software work seamlessly together. And it's about understanding the consumer doesn't just buy a product, they buy an experience. So predicting the exact future of a company like Apple is challenging due to rapidly changing nature, technology, and market dynamics. But there are several likely directions that we can see from Apple's history. And I don't have time to go into all of these right now, but I will break these down into future episodes as we talk about this because it's so important. But let's go over them real quickly here. There's continued focus on services. Keep going. Expansion into health technologies. Augmented reality. AI, of course, is coming along strong. There were automotive endeavors. Sustainability and environment issues. Privacy and security. Geographical expansion. Worldwide, basically. They became a worldwide organization. Hey, this is all the time we have. Boy, it went quickly. I feel like sometimes barely get started, but many more episodes of this podcast to come, so I'm anxious to get together with you. If you're hungry for more laughs, insights, groans, maybe some surprises, hey, join me for the next episode because I want to dive into another hot topic on projects and people getting things done. Even if you don't work in tech, these concepts still will work for you. And if you want to stay up to date on all the latest information, behind-the-scenes information, you can go to my website at waynerobertson.com, get all the latest information. And I also look forward to getting your feedback as I want to learn from you. And you are free to disagree with me because that's how I learn. I want to propose these ideas not as an answer, but as a seed to start you thinking. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast to make sure you can get all the latest episodes. I'm Wayne Robertson. Please go to waynerobertson.com for all the latest information. And I look forward to getting together with you next time on Ignoring the Rules.